Well, it sure is a big number, but it's perhaps a smaller milestone for the world when the 7 billionth person is born sometime in the next few weeks, or maybe it's already happened. Based on a statistical calculation, anyway, the United Nations expects that 7 billionth baby to arrive here on Earth by Halloween, next Monday. Hey, we're not trying to scare you. 7 billion is huge for a small planet, but as a population milestone, how much different is 7 billion from 6, which we reached back in 1999, or 5 in 1987? The first billion milestone was passed in 1805 at the midpoint of the Industrial Revolution. And that came centuries after what might have been perhaps the biggest milestone of all time in human population history, 1350, the end of the global famine and bubonic plague pandemics that actually reversed a planetary decline in human population. A decline. Hasn't been that way since. It's been a continuous upward growth since then for human beings. From 1805, it took 123 years to get to 2 billion. By contrast, it's only going to take us a few short years, 15 at most, to get us to 8 billion. Historian Matthew Connolly joins us now. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
Matthew, on Skype there, is the author of Fatal Misconception, The Struggle to Control World Population. He's a professor of history at Columbia University. Matthew, and kind of an impressionistic question right at the outset. Why does 7 billion not feel so different from 6 billion?
Well, the funny thing about population growth is sometimes people will make you feel like it's explosive, you know, or even that it's a bomb that's about to go off. You know, but in fact, these things, they creep up on us, you know, and it happens, you know, in ways that are almost imperceptible. But now and then, you know, people will find themselves in a crowd and think, wow, there are just a lot of people around me. But most of us, most of the time, realize that this is something, again, that happens over generations. And that's why we have time, if we choose to do something about it.
All right. Before we talk about population control, which it does seem that we have a bit of work to do there as the rise seems to continue unabated, is 7 billion as important a milestone as that milestone in 1350 where we went from negative growth to positive growth? And what about the first billion or the first 2 billion the person?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, it depends, I guess, how you feel about history. I mean, many people would say that, you know, the moment when people began to conquer infectious disease, at least to the point that most babies were no longer dying in childhood, would be the really big change in human history. And that what we're seeing over the last couple of centuries, you know, with accelerating population growth, is more quantitative rather than a qualitative difference. But, you know, just in the last century when we went from about 2 billion to where we are now, the lives of most people on this planet changed dramatically. I mean, if you were in India in 1920, the life expectancy was 19.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And what is it now? What is it now?
Well, in India, it's more than 60.
And, wow, that's amazing.
And, yeah.
That's a tripling. That is a tripling. So your book, Fatal Misconception, which attempts to document this population history, really begins with the idea that the growth we're experiencing is much more about these survival rates than it is about birth rate, right?
That's right. It's not so much that people started breeding like rabbits. It's really because they stopped dying like flies. That's how we got to a world of 7 billion.
That's a nice sort of tagline there. But I guess in terms of population control, has there been any national or regional success at actually implementing that?
Well, there have been dramatic declines in fertility. And the people who believe that population control is possible and even urgent will tell you that, you know, in countries like China, like India, for instance, it was only because of population control that they began to bring down fertility rates. But the problem with that is that there are a lot of countries that did little or nothing in terms of population control that also had very dramatic declines in fertility, like Brazil and Turkey and Algeria and even Saudi Arabia.
And Russia, I think, is an example after the fall of the Soviet Union.
That's an example of a country that would like to boost fertility rates. I mean, they're looking even now at population decline and a decline that will likely continue in the decades ahead. At least that's the fear. And so they're actually beginning to pay women money if they'll agree to have children.
So Matthew Connolly is our guest. He's the author of Fatal Misconception, The Struggle to Control World Population. He's a professor of history at Columbia University, joining us by a Skype connection. So, Matthew, is there a cultural tension between the obvious progress associated with living longer and being healthier for all of your years of life and controlling population so that there are few of us?
Well, there is a tension if you think that it's possible and even necessary you know, to get other people to stop having kids. If you think, for instance, that countries that still have high fertility are the threat of the future, there is a real tension because, after all, how is it you're going to persuade other people to have fewer children? Well, for most of the history of population control, the way it's been tried, the way it's been done has been to tell poor people, you know, if only you have fewer children, you could have more things. Or you can have that transistor radio. You could even have a car in the garage. So there is a tension if you think that population growth is a problem, if you see it as a threat to the planet, because pretty much the only way you could persuade people, at least most people have thought the only way, is to tell them that if they have fewer children, they could have more things. So it's not an environmentalist message at all.
Although if you look at population rates in the industrialized world, that message only really gets through when you actually get the things, not before, when you're, you know, living in some sort of slum in Brazil or in Lagos, Nigeria, for instance. Matthew Connolly, before we go, is there a self-enforcing population sort of limiter on the planet? I was noticing that the quickest sort of billion person gain was 13 years. It started to slow down a little bit, even though the population in raw numbers is rising.
Yeah, it's a bit like an ocean liner. So even though basically we've almost stopped the engines and in some ways we've begun to turn things around, it takes quite a while for that to have its effect. Because after all, you know, the people who were born 20, 30 years ago when fertility rates were still high are just now having children. So that's why we're going to see some momentum in the years ahead.
Is there any sort of regional headline on population growth? Is it more likely that the 7 billionth person is an Asian, for instance, or an African, or probably not an Australian?
Well, you know, to be honest, it's a bit of a publicity stunt. And I have to ask myself, why is it they've chosen Halloween as the moment when the 7th billionth person will be added to the planet? I have to think it has something to do with the idea that we should be afraid of population growth. Well, I don't think we should be afraid of population growth. I mean, we should be aware of it. It's a challenge. It's real. But whether it's that baby is born in a poor country or a rich country is something that nobody knows.
Finally, Matthew, 7 billion doesn't bother you. How about 8? How about 10? 12?
These are going to be challenges without a doubt. And if there are 10 billion people trying to live like Americans, then we're all in trouble.
Oh, yeah, that's certainly not sustainable. Matthew Connolly is the author of Fatal Misconception, The Struggle to Control World Population. He's a professor of history at Columbia University. We're talking about the 7 billionth person that the United Nations expects to be born, sometime around Halloween of this year. The U.S. Census actually has a different estimate for next spring, but sometime in the next few months, 7 billion people here on planet Earth. Thank you, Professor.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking all this morning about the economy, about elections in Tunisia, your opinions about the troops coming home finally from Iraq by year's end. One listener texted to us at 69866, "Finally, Obama keeps his word. It means a lot." Another listener is more skeptical, though. They write, "Listen and read carefully. Not all the U.S. troops will return. Several thousand will remain as advisors." What are your thoughts about the troop withdrawal or anything else that you've heard? 8778-MY-TAKE, or you can post at our website, thetakeaway.org. And if you want to catch up on that conversation or anything else that you've heard on the show, you can get our podcast. You can re-listen on demand and then share segments with your friends as well. It's all at our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.